Mem Hey, so we're going to learn today Lila Nishmas, as his father Yitzchak ben Moshe HaKohen, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. Amen. So we are like 10 lines down, the two dots, the Gemara says, V'chol hayotin l'hatzil achozin l'mkomam. We saw in yesterday's Mishnah that everybody who went outside the Tchum in order to save, whether it was because of a war or because of a health reason, they left the Tchum, they're allowed to chozin l'mkomam, they could go back to the original place where they were. So the Gemara says, V'afilu tuva, even more than the Tchum, they could go more than 2,000 amos, meaning they were someplace. And you would think they have 2,000 amos to walk back and forth, but the Mishnah says they could go back all the way back home, even though it's many thousands of amos away, possibly. So Gemara says, "Afilu tuva v'hamis reisha." Didn't the reisha say alpaim ama v'sulo? The Mishnah, the reisha said that the guy who goes out and he nasa ma'isa, he's going. They said, "No, don't worry, we don't need you anymore. Stop, abort the mission." We say, "Yeshal alpaim ama v'choruach." He has 2,000 amos. But then the end of the Mishnah said, "Kol yotzin lehatzil chozin lemkomim." They could go back. Even if it's beyond 2,000 amos, so what exactly is the limitation, if any, to a person who goes out lahatzil? So Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Amarav shechozen b'chli zayin limkomam, that they're allowed to go back with their weapons. If you look at Rashi on 10 narrow lines down, Rashi says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav lo tema afilu tuba. Don't say that they could go all the way back beyond 2,000 amos. De lo shari el alpaim. They only have 2,000 amos to work with. That they're allowed to carry their weapons. That's a chiddush, not a question of tchum. The chiddush is hotzah. Below Armina, we don't say kaven denasa ma'isa. Since the war is over, or whatever they're doing was over, yashlichu klizayin, and they should throw their weapons or the instruments down me'alein from their backs. Below yichalu Shabbos b'chazaras, and don't violate Shabbos of carrying them. B'taimu farsh l'kaman, we'll see later on why that is. So again, in terms of tchum, they only get 2,000 amos, but the chiddush of chozen limkoma means they could carry their weapons back to within the 2,000 amos. So the Gemara says, my kushu, what's the shaila? Dilma lahatzil shiny, maybe saving is different. What that means is that Rashi explains, Dilma lahatzil shiny, umisha yata bershus dimasnisin, those who go out with permission, ikal okme, be'edis achodesh, ubachach ma'bal liyalit. That maybe it's a situation where they went out for the moon, they saw the new moon, they went to testify, or a doctor went to help a childbirth. So then they don't have to come back, so they're stuck in 2,000 amos. Aval habala hatzil mi'ovim, the person who comes to, you know, as a soldier, to fight against the enemy, yesh lochosh shema oivim yirdifu acharav. Maybe they dropped their weapons, maybe they thought they beat the enemies, but if they turn around, maybe the enemy's going to start chasing them down, now they have no weapons with them. Maybe they could go all the way back to the city to have protection. But to have them stuck within 2,000 amos, who knows if the enemies are going to come back? So again, when the Mishnah says they only have 2,000 amos, that's by Eidus HaChodesh, that's by a Rofe. But a person who's defending himself from the enemies, they should be able to get all the Lahatzil, should be shiny. They should have all the amos they want to get back home to safety. So the Gemara says, Ella, Ikasha Hakasha. If you have a question, it should be the following question. What's a question? Chaim just told me he's learning Mishnah's Rosh Hashanah with Mati. So this is a quoting from the Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah. The Tanan Barishona initially, Lohayu Zazen Misham Koyam Kula. Initially, when the Edom would come to testify about the new moon, they'd be stuck in Bezdin. They came to Bezdin on Shabbos, the Sanhedrin. They're stuck there all Shabbos. That was initially. Hiskin Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin, he made a takana, Shiesh Lehen, Apaim Amma, Lucharuach, he allowed them to move wherever, 2,000 amos in every direction. V'lo Elu Bavad Amru, not only with respect to Eidus HaChodesh, Amru Ela Afilu Chachma, Habal Yaled, Vabal Hatzil, Min HaGayis, Umin HaNar, Umin HaMapolis, Umin HaDleika. Anyone who goes out, a doctor to help childbirth, someone to save from some robbers and enemies, a river overflowing, if there's a Mapolis, if there's a collapse of some sort or a fire, they're able to have the board of the tchum of the people in the city where they're going to protect. So that's the din that this is a later on takana. So that's what comes from the mission of Rosh Hashanah. However, the sulo, they only have 2,000 amos, not beyond that. The ha'amrs, don't you have here in our mission, Maseches Erevin, koyotzen lahatzil chozen l'mkomon afilu tuva. Our mission says, with these types of people, Eidus HaChodesh and Habal Yali, Habal Lahatzil, they have as much amos as they want to get back to their initial house. So are they limited to 2,000 amos, or do they have all the space in the world? So the Gemara says that Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav shechozen b'chleizayin l'mkomam. It's referring to bringing their weapons back home. That's what we're learning from here. What does that mean? So the Gemara is going to bring a brisa, the Kidatanya Barishona initially hayomanichen in chleizayin b'beis hasumach samech l'choma. Initially, the halacha was when they returned back from their house, they're allowed to go back to their city. and they drop their weapons in the outermost house. They don't need to schlep them all the way home because the war was over. They're within the city walls. Now they're protected. So again, they drop off their klei zayin, bebeis hasamech, bebeis hasamech lechoma. However, Pamachas one time hikiru behen oivim, the enemies recognized what was going on, that they came in, they dropped their swords and spears in the outermost house. But Radfa Acharim, they saw an opportunity to start chasing after them into the city, because now they knew they had no weapons on them anymore. But Nichnasu, the enemies entered into the city, Litok Klei Zainin, and they stole and confiscated all their weapons, and now they had no defense. First, Nichnasu, the Jews, Litok Klei Zainin, they went to get their weapons after they saw the enemies enter into the city. But at that point, Nichnasu Oivim, the enemies were already inside the city. Acharen, the Dachu Zedzeh, and the Jews started hitting each other, pushing each other, shoving to try to get the weapons. At that point, Hargu Zedzeh, they ended up killing the Jews, killing each other. Yosem Mimei Mashi Hargu Oivim, more so than what the enemies had killed earlier in the war. So Bosa Shah, at that moment, Hiskinu Shehu Chosen Limkomom Bechlizainim, that not only can they bring their weapons within the city walls, but they bring them back home where they are, where it's always safe and protected so they could always defend themselves. That's what it's referring to, bring their weapons home. But in terms of the Trum is limited to 2,000 Amos, the Gemara says. So then the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Lo Kasha. There is no contradiction of how far you're allowed to go, whether it's 2,000 Amos versus until you get back home. It depends on who the enemy is. It depends who exactly is fighting. So you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Nitzchu Yisrael apai misulo. If the Jews win, so they have 2,000 amos and that's in. Nitzchu umas olam, chosen koma mafil tuva. But if the Goyim win, if they beat us, so we're defenseless. We can't stay stuck in 2,000 amos. We need to run home until we get protected, until we are able to get in the city. So that's the difference depending who won. If we won, we're stuck. If they won, run home as fast as you could. Gemara now says halfway down the page here, Amar of Yehuda Maraf. Nachim shetar al ayaros Yisrael. If Nachim are sieging a city, ein yotzin alein bichli zainin, you cannot go out to fight with them with weapons, you just let it be. Vein mechalon of the Shabbos, you can't be mechal Shabbos. So it's a very strange thing. The Gemara now, Brisa qualifies what's going on here. Tanya Nami Hachi, the Brisa says further, Nachim Shetzaru v'chulu, but when is that true that you can't be Mechal Shabbos, you can't go fight them? It's Kishabo al Iske Mamon, when they're coming only to attack for money. They want to steal from you. That does not warrant Chil Shabbos. You can't be Mechal Shabbos to save a Parnasa. You can't be Mechal Shabbos to protect Hefsin Mamon. So this is Hefsin Mamon. There is no heter of Chil Shabbos. Aval. Bo al iske nefashos, if they're coming to kill, then that's pikuach nefesh, then certainly, yotzin alein b'chli zainin, you certainly should take your weapons, u'mechal nefesh Shabbos and mechal Shabbos, to protect yourself. U'be'ir hasmucha l'safir, if there's a city that's on the border, afil lo bo al iske nefashos, even if they're not coming to kill, ela al iske tevin v'kash, simply to steal some straw and grain, then yotzin alein b'chli zainin, and you can go to protect and you can be Mechal Shabbos. What's the difference? Why, when it comes to a city on the border, you're allowed to fight even if it's for Hefsin Mamon? So Rashi says, Lasafar, ir shemavdelas bein gvul Yisrael legvul umos. It's the city that's on the border, that's protecting the rest of the cities. It's the outermost city. Yotin Alen, you can go protect. Shema Yekadua, perhaps they're going to take you over. Perhaps the non-Jews will defeat that city. It's a very strategic city. Now you're opening up a whole area, and they're exposed, and now the entire Eretz Yisrael, or Babel, wherever it is, will be exposed to the enemy. So that's a very strategic area. That would be a heter, even if it's coming about because of Iske Mamon. And the Gemara gives an example of such a city. Amar of Yosef Bar Min Yumni, Amar of Nachman U Bavel, Kiir Hasmucha L'Safer Damya, V'Targuma Naharda. Babel, which is saying in particularly Naharda, the city in Babel, that was considered a very strategic city where it's protecting between the Goyim and the Jewish cities within, and that would be a situation whereby they were able to protect themselves in Mechal Shabbos, even if it was because of Iske Mamon. Now, an interesting question, the Avi Ezri asks a question, wait a second, we have a Gemara in Sanhedrin that tells us, Abam Machtar is a person who comes to a tunnel underneath, you'll have to kill him. So a person who comes Iske Mamon, that's also Pikuach Nefesh, you could kill the guy if he's tunneling underneath your house. So why we say Iske Mamon? There's no Pikuach Nefesh. Nefesh. So obviously, as he says, it depends on the robber. If it's a robber who's taka bav machteres, so then that's it's iske mamon. It's even iske nefashos. You would be able to protect yourself if they're tunneling underneath the house. But if they're just coming through the front door, they're coming through the window. That's not called bav machteres. that they would only come about because of Iske Mammon. Now the Ravan and the Hagos Mammonis point out, nowadays things are very different. Nobody comes just for Mammon. They're coming for Mammon, they're willing to kill one also, and therefore, anytime they're trying to attack because of Mammon, there actually is a heter of Chil Shabbos, because we assume every attack, even a robbery, can lead to death, and would be considered Pikuach Nefesh. There is an interesting discussion of persons at Mechal Shabbos because of Pikuach Nefesh reasons, whether or not that person requires a kapara of any sort. The Shmuz Deshin brings down the person's Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh, a doctor. Completely allowed, a Hatzal member, completely allowed to do it, but does it need any level of kapara? The Shmuz Deshin says, it's a nice thing, it's an Eitzah Tova to do kapara nonetheless. Other Achron argue and say, no, it's completely mutter, there's no issue at all. If you're doing something for Pikuach Nefesh, there's not even a tiny bit of an Avera, and not to be concerned at all. Okay, let's go weiter now. The Gemara says, last 8 lines or so before this Mishnah, Darish Rabbi Dustai de Minbiri, he was an Amor, he made the following drasha. It says in the pasuk, there's a pasuk that appears in Shmuel Aleph, V'yagidu l'David le'mor, is told to David, Hinei plishim nilchamim be'ki'ila, they are attacking in a city, the city called Ki'ila, V'hema shosin es granos, they're taking the spoils from the granos, from the threshing field, they're taking the wheat, they're stealing from us. So Tana Ki'ila, ir smucha l'safra ha'yisa, it was a city that was on the border, V'hem lo bo el al iske tevin v'kash, and they only came to steal money, it says further, V'yishal David b'Hashem, that Shaul, rather, David asked Hashem, Le'mor ha'elech v'kisi plishim ha'ila, shall I go and kill them for stealing our money? And Rashi points out, it's referring to Shabbos. V'yom Hashem el David, leich v'kisi plishim, go ahead and kill them, v'oshates kila, and save the city of Kila. So what was this Shiloh? What was the dialogue? My kimibay asked him, what was the Shiloh? Elaim, if you say, ishari asr, if it's permitted, if it's usher to do so on Shabbos, Hare Bez Dina Shel Shmuel Haramasikaim. You don't go to the Urim V'Tumim to ask a Shaila whether it's Mutter Usher. You don't ask Halachic Shailas from Urim V'Tumim. That you have the Bez Dina Shmuel. As Rashi says here, that Ishari I Usher V'Shabbos Haisa, Hare Shmuel U'Bez Dina Kayim V'Umide De Isser V'Heter, Lo Meshaila B'Urim V'Tumim. You don't ask questions from the Urim V'Tumim. So what was the Shaila he was really asking? It wasn't a question to Isser V'Heter. Meaning, when it comes to a city that's Vesafar, you're certainly allowed to violate Shabbos to protect them, even the coming about Iske Mammon. So that's Sariah. And Iske Mammon is allowed if it comes to a border city. So what was the Shiloh David HaMelech was asking the Urim V'Tumim? He's asking Hashem through the Urim V'Tumim. Ela I matzlich, I lo matzlich. Will I be successful in defeating the Plishtim or not? Dekanami dechsiv leich v'kisa v'plishtim voshata es kila, that you're going to be successful. You have a Yeshua, you're going to win Shmamino. That was the particular Shiloh. So there is an interesting discussion. There's a Sefer Nachas Ben Yamin that says that it's an Isser Ksiva to ask from the Urim V'Tumim on Shabbos. Are allowed to ask for it. So it's a Ksiva, like the letters come out and you have a whole line. You ask a Shiloh, the Beis and the Dalit and the Vav, and then you spell a letter. That's Ksiva. So they ask a question, what do you mean? The Gemara here clearly tells us that they asked the Urim V'Tumim, it was Shabbos, the Gemara says. So some answer that they quote a Marsham Mi Berzin. I don't know who that is. He says, no, the reason why it was Mutter, normally it's also to ask from the Urim V'Tumim. But since it's a Mabkom Pikuach Nefesh, because it was Iske Mammon on the Safra on the border, so since it's Pikuach Nefesh, you're allowed to violate Shabbos and ask from the Urim V'Tumim. The Tzitz Eliezer says, there's no Ksiva here. Why is there no Ksiva? Because the letters just like light up. You're not putting letters together. Not like Scrabble. It's just like a letter here, a letter there, and you just have to connect the dots, but that's not really Ksiva. And the third answer that the Achronim bring is that the only type of Issa Ksiva that exists is when it's a natural type of Ksiva. This is not a natural, this is a nace, the way the Urim V'Tumim lights up, and for that reason, they felt there was no Issa of Ksiva in general on Shabbos from the Urim V'Tumim. Okay, the new Mishnah tells us now on the bottom here of Mem Hayam and Aleph, Misha Yashiv Bederech, a person who's sitting on the derech, he's traveling somewhere. V'amad v'ra, he stands up and he sees, it turns out it's Shabbos, he doesn't know where he is. And Rashi says he was very tired, he didn't know he was in the tchum of a particular city. The sun set, and now it's Shabbos, and he stands up after getting a little break. The sun comes down, and it gets a little cool. He looks up and he sees there's a city. Ra harehu samach l'ir, he's right next to the city, he didn't know. Since he did not have in mind when he was kaveh himself for Shabbat, he had no idea he was 10 feet away from the city. He can't go in because since he did not have das to use the tum of the city, he's not able to utilize that city. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yechanes, he's allowed to, even though he did not have in mind, he's allowed to go into the city. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa Haya, V'nichlas Rabbi Tarfon, Belomis Kavin, and there's a Maisa, that Rabbi Tarfon, one time this happened, and he had no Kavana, and yet he still was able to go into the city. The Gemara is going to elaborate
on this particular ma'aseh. In other words, there's a machlokas whether or not you need das to be able to use a tchum of a city or not. He was in the tchum of the city, he just didn't know about it. Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to use it even without kavana. So Gemara now records a brisa that again elaborates a little bit more. Tanya, Amri Rabbi Yehuda ma'aseh b'Rabbi Tarfon shaya mahalach b'derech. He's once traveling. The chashchalo and the sun set. It was the erev Shabbos. Now it's Shabbos night. V'lan chutz le'ir. He went to sleep outside the city. At the shachris the next morning, matzal roi bakar. He saw some people in the field, or shepherds or cattlemen. Amru lo. They said to him, Rebbe, harei ha'ir l'fanecha. So I'm not sure what they're doing on Shabbos exactly with the cattle. I don't know how that works exactly. But either way, they were out there in the field and the cattle. And then Amr lo, Rebbe, harei ha'il fanecha. The city's right here. What are you doing sleeping outside on Shabbos? Go to the city. Hichanes. So go inside. Nichnas, Rabbi Tarfon went inside the city. The Yashav beis medrash. He sat in the beis medrash. The darish koyam kulo. And he gave a drash. He gave a shir all day long. So we see clearly that even though he did not have kavana to be in the sort of city limits, he was able to utilize the going to the city. So Amr lo, they said back to Rabbi Yehuda, that's a raya. Misham Raya, Shema, Beliba Hayasa. Maybe he knew about this. He knew the city was right there. He was just too lazy or too tired to go in there, so he slept where he was. But he knew from the beginning, maybe he did have Takav Kavana. Oh, perhaps, Beis Medrash Muvla Besoch Tchumahaya. Or maybe his Beis Medrash was within his Tchum. Remember, wherever a person is, he has a Tchum. He has a Tchum of 2,000 Amos. So if he knew about the city, that he was within the Tchum of the city, he can go back to the city, and he was 2,000 Amos from around the city. But he didn't know about it. But he can walk 2,000 amos. So let's say he can walk into the city until 2,000 amos stops. And he can't go beyond that even when he's in the city. But maybe the Beis Medrash was on the edge of the city, whereby it was within his 2,000 amos, and that's why he was able to use it, not because he had no kavana of the tchum. If he didn't have kavana, maybe in Echanami, he couldn't use the tchum of the city. He couldn't go out the other end of the city, only whatever was within his radius, and therefore they felt that there was no raya from the Ma'aseh of Rabbi Tarfon. The new Mishnah tells us in the bottom here in Amr Aleph that Mi Sheyashen Bederach v'loyada shechashecha. So the guy fell asleep on the road. He didn't know that he was he didn't know about the tchum. Sheyesh l'apayim amal charuach divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So he didn't know that he went to sleep in the afternoon, was taking an erev Shabbos nap. Turned out the sun set and he woke up. It's the middle of the night. Now he didn't have any awareness of creating a tchum for himself. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, nonetheless, he gets his 2,000 amos, even though he was sleeping when Shabbos began. Chachamim omrim, ein lo ela arba amos, since he was unaware, well, when Shabbos was beginning, he was unaware during Ben Shmashos, he stuck to only get dal amos. He does not get the normal 2,000 amos. Without kavana, you cannot get the 2,000 amos of tchum. So Rabbi Eliezer, omer, v'hu be'emson, and when it comes to Chachamim, when you only get 4 amos because you were unaware, how do you decide? We discussed this yesterday a little bit. Where do the 4 amos go? So it says you're in the center. Who be'emsam? You're in the center of the dal amos, and you get 2 amos to every direction. Where you're in the nucleus, and it's every point is 2,000 amos around in the circle. Kamos long Rabbi Yehuda Omer le'ezer ruach sheyirta yelch. Not true. You could decide where you want. You could have 4 amos to your right only, and nothing to the left, or 4 amos to your left and nothing to the right. You could create those 4 amos however you want to. So then the Mishnah says, Umodi Rabbi Yehuda agrees that she'ima beir lo she'niyachol lachsebo. Once you decide which direction you want, you can't pick and choose. That's Pinny's question. Once you decide I'm going 4 amos to the east, then that's it for the rest of Shabbos. You can't go 4 amos to the west anymore. You are stuck within that radius. So the Mishnah then says, Hayushnaim, let's say there are 2 people, and they each have their own circle around each other. Mikshas amosav shazeh besoch amosav shazeh, and they overlap a little bit. So let's say, for example, I've got my 4 amos here, you've got your 4 amos there, but we have 2 amos that overlap with each other. I can't go to your other side, you can't go to my other side, but between us, we have 2 amos where we do overlap with each other. So the Mishnah says, again, Hayushnaim, Mikshas amosav shazeh besoch amosav shazeh, part of my amos are overlapping with part of his amos, Mavin v'ochlim b'emso, we could bring our food, I could bring my food, he could bring his food, and we could share within those 2 amos together, u'bavad, as long as, the Mishnah says, on the top of Amud Beis here, u'bavad, shlo yotzei zeh mitoch shelo, l'toch shel chaver, as long as I don't take his stuff and put it onto the other side of my radius, and b'vad shlo yotzei zeh mitoch shelo, l'toch shel chaver.
That's for carrying tzavach nasa more than tchum, right?
No, tchum, it's a tchum, yeah. So hayu shlosha, let's say the three people, vem tsai muvla beinem, and then there's a guy in the middle, and he's in the middle, so the 2 outer guys don't overlap with each other, but we both overlap with the middle guy. So the din is, hu mutter imam, He, the middle guy, is mutar with both of them, as long as it's in the overlapping areas. Vein, mutar, and imo, and each of them, independently, are able to utilize the guy's middle property. The yishaim, hachitonim, asurim, and zemzeb. But the two outer guys, they can't pass the items to each other. So similar type of case here. Then Amar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says, Lama davar damar, what is this similar to? It's similar to a case of an eruv. That was talking about tchum. Now we're going to discuss an eruv of carrying. The shlosha chatzeros hapsuchos zulazu. You have three consecutive courtyards opening up one with each other, like a row, one, two, three. Upsuchos l'shisarabim, in the end, there's a l'shisarabim. Eruv u'shtayim ima emtsiyos. So each one and two have an eruv, and separately, two and three have an eruv, but one and three don't have an eruv with each other. But you have a circle around one and two, and then another circle around three and two, so they made an eruv. We're talking about there's proper walls around things, but remember, even within a wall, you have to create an eruv of everyone having the same matzah. So one and two have their own matzah, and two and three have their own matzah. So the din is that eruv shtayim im hem tzielos, he, mutaris imam, the middle one, emsavis and mutter, with both of those adjacent chatzeros, veim mutaris imam, they could also both work with the middle one. However, shtayim hachitzonios, the two outer ones, asuros zumzu, cannot utilize the properties or the kalim of the outer people. You can't go so far. So that's the Mishnah. So Gemara now wants to know, we're going back to the beginning of the Mishnah. We had this machlokas, when a person is sleeping, the outset of Shabbos, is that going to, does he still get his 2,000 amos, or since he was sleeping, he loses it? So the Gemara is talking about a case of the person sleeping. Now the Gemara is going to extend it to a situation, what about an object, chefse hefker? What's the status of hefker where there's no owner to it? You have, we'll see in the case, rain. Rain is hefker. Where any property that's hefker, there's a chefse hefker, does it get 2,000 amos? Meaning if I pick it up, I could take this property, this object, within 2,000 amos of where this was? Or no, a chefse hefker has no, there's no, tchum at all. So Gemara asks the question, Boi Rava, my kasavar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, what was his understanding? Misvar kasavar, does he hold chefse hefker, konim shvisa, that really, even the chefse hefker has a shvisa, which means wherever that object is, the moment Shabbos begins, a person could carry this 2,000 amos in any direction. Ubedinhu delifluk bekalim, and the Mishnah really should have discussed a machlokas about the kalim, chefse hefker. V'had de kamifki v'adam, the reason why the Mishnah chose to argue about a person falling asleep and not falling asleep, lo diacha kochan di rabbanan, to show you the great lengths that rabbanan go. The afagav the ikal memer, even though there's room to be makel by an adam, that an adam who falls asleep should perhaps get 2,000 amos, hol v'nir kana, since if he were to be awake, he should get 2,000 amos, yashinami kana, one would have thought, the chachamim would agree, that even when he's sleeping, he should maybe also get 2,000 amos, kamash v'landulo, that if he's sleeping, he doesn't get his 2,000 amos, so that's certainly the case of a chafse hefker, where there's no owner, no one has any das at all, it's ownerless, certainly that does not get 2,000 amos, only Dal Amos according to Chachamim. So is that the discussion? That again, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri will say, by Kalim, it also gets 2,000 Amos, just like a person who's sleeping? Oh, Dilma, perhaps. Kesavar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri ba'alma, Chefsi Hefker, ain't Konim Shvisa. Maybe he holds, by Chefsi Hefker, there's no Das, there's no one who owns it, it does not get 2,000 Amos. It only gets Dal Amos. V'hacha, hainu time, the reason why by an Adam, he does get 2,000 Amos, is hol v'nir, kind of, since if he were to be awake, he gets 2,000 amos. Yashi namikana, since he's sleeping, he also gets 2,000 amos. Just to be clear, the machloke, the suffix here, the Gemara is, what is the status of chefse hefker? Does it get 2,000 amos also, like an adam according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, or does it only get dalad amos? And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would agree that it only gets dalad amos, since there is no das of anyone involved in the chefse hefker. That's the shaila. So Gemara now says, Amar of Yosef. This is interesting chakir, I'll just throw out very quickly. Rabbi Malin asks chakir when it comes to items that are kalim, where that kalim could go as far as the owner goes. Is that because the kalim are considered an extension of the person? Or no? Kalim have their own identity. But how to define the shir is based on the adam. But really, the kalim have its own identity. Now, there's no real nafkamina. He just tries to bring a rye from here. It's a little bit complicated. But just an interesting chakir that Rabbi Malin raises. So Gemara says, either way,
center, they both can share. If the kelim are further to the side, the other guy might be able to slap them a little more, no? Because the kelim have their own arba amos.
No, but we're saying the arba, the 2,000 amos of the kelim go based on the owner of it.
Right.
But so it could also go as far as I could go.
And the arba amos is the same question or
not? Yes, I think so. I'm not sure there's an afkamina. Either way, so the Gemara now wants to know, what's the din of chefse hefker?
Do we say that Chafse Hefker, does it get 2,000 amos as well? Or is it limited to Dalad amos? So the Gemara brings a raya, Amr of Yosef, Tashma, Gishamim, Shiyardu, Be'er of Yomtiv, rain that came Erev Yomtiv, Yeshem Alpaim Amal Charuach, that has 2,000 amos in all directions. However, if it fell B'Yomtiv, it fell on Yomtiv itself, Harehe, Kiragle, Kaladim, it goes based on whoever collects it, which means that Iyamris, if you say Bishma, Kesav, Rabbi Yochanan, Menuri, Chafse Hefker, Konin, Shvisa, Harmani, Rabbi Yochanan, he, there's Rabbi Yochanan, because when the rain fell Erev Yomtiv, nobody owned it. It was Chafse Hefker when Shabbos began. And yet we still see that it gets 2,000 amos. So it must be Chafse Hefker, Diz Konin, Shvisa. Now the Iyamris, if you say Chafse Hefker, Ain Konin, Shvisa, then in general, that which is Hefker doesn't get a Kinin Shvisa, does not get 2,000 amos. So who is the author of the Brisa that says the rain that was that came Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov rather, does get 2,000 amos? Hamani lo Reb Yochanan velo Rabbanan. So Gemara says Yosef Abaye, who's sitting down with Kamarle Lashmaisa, who's learning this particular halacha, Amarle Rav Safra la Abaye, Vidilma Bukshamim Hasmuchim Leir Askinan. Perhaps it's talking about where it rained very close to the city. The Anshe also Ir Daita Malayu. So it rained Erev Yom Tov. So now, yes, the rain in general is Hefker, but since it was right next to the city, people say, oh, it rained Erev Yom Tov, let's have a mind to be Kona that the rain, and it will be now Paradas, and it will be part of the Tchum of the Anshe Ir. That's the situation. So Amar Le, Lo Sakadaitach, one could not think of such a Havamina, because the Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us that Bor, Sho Yachid, Karaga Yachid, if I have my own personal well, any rainwater in there goes wherever I could go, that could go, it's my property. We shall also hear, if it's a public well, and all the rain that falls into the city well. So Kiragli also here. Whatever the tchum of the ear, it follows that. It goes based on, again, the owner, either the Yachid or the Rabbim. Uvishal Ole Bavhel. If it came to the wells that they set up along the path to when the Ole Regalim would go to Har Bayis 3 times a year, so they set up along the path. We discussed some of the Eruvim they would use, the special Diyumdim, the four corner pieces, so they could bring the animals to drink water. So if it comes to the Shal Ole Bavhel, Kiragli Hamimala. It goes based on whoever picks up, whoever draws the water, whatever his tchum is, that's how it follows, which means that it wasn't, there was no shvisa before him. That water is hefker. It's not until I draw the water on Yom Tov does it become mine, or on Shabbos does it become mine. But before that, there is no kinyan shvisa at all. So, and therefore, the Gemara says, V'tanya, the Bais says further, Bor shel shvatim, if it's a bor of any of the shvatim, yeshem apayim amal charuach, you have a apayim, it does get, tchum in every direction. So the Gemara says, problem is, kashin hadadi, this is a steer. What's the steer here? So if you take a look, Rashi says, look at the first wide line down, Rashi says, v'shel ole bavel, shebederech she'olim bavel eretz Yisrael, who shall hefker? It was certainly hefker, no one owned it, it was just the random wells they had set up from the highway from bavel to eretz Yisrael. And kiragle hamimale, the Gemara says, whoever draws the water from the well, the chol mile defkera man demagbe, anything hefker, whoever picks it up, lekani he's kone behagba. V'afilu nasan lachem, even he gives it to somebody else, la'acha shimilon, even after he filled it up, the tzorcho harehin kiragla, that goes based on whoever initially picked it up. Ama mide defkera ain konen shvisa. So we see there's no shvisa. So if there were shvisa, it shouldn't go based on what I do, it should be based on 2,000 amos of the location of the well. So we see from there that hefker is not konen shvisa. And just the next Rashi, V'tani idach bor shel shvatim, d'haynu shel ole bavel. When we call a bor shel shvatim, it also means it's a general, it's a hefker bor of the ole bavel. Yeshem apayim amal l'charuach, alma kani shvisa, d'haynu kiragli called them. So we have a brisa that refers to ole bavel, one place as there, it's not kani shvisa, it goes based on whoever's mimalit. And the other brisa says it has 2,000 amos, that it is kani shvisa. So kashin hadadeh. So Gemara says, Ela lav shmamina, must be, that har Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, har Rabban, this is the goof of the machlokas. This discussion of Chefse Hefker, whether it's Kona Shvisa or not, is a Machlokas Nebraisa, and it goes back to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who says, just like an Adam Yoshein, a person sleeping, gets Shvisa of 2,000 Amos, so too Chefse Hefker gets 2,000 Amos. But Rabbanan, who say, no, Adam Yoshein only gets Dal Amos, so too Chefse Hefker also gets Dal Amos. So that's how the Gemara reconciles this Braisa. So the Gemara then says, the Kiyasa Lakame de Rav Yosef, when they went in front of Rav Yosef, Amalei Hachi Kamer of Safra, they told him what Rav Safra said, V'achi Ahadrile, and this is what he responded. So they told him this whole shock of Itaria. So Amalei Rav Yosef says to them, V'amai lo temalei migufa. Why don't you learn it from the Brisa itself? Why bring from another Brisa? The Brisa itself seems to indicate this din. Why? Because Isagadaitach b'kshamim hasmuchim l'ir askinan. Because we had suggested, remember, we had thought that the only reason why you could utilize rain, that rain, the Erev Shabbos, was only because we had initially suggested it was next to the smuchel ir. We said, no, it can't be smuchel ir. We brought a different raya. But how do we know it's not smuchet li'ir? He says from the brayis itself. He says, Yitzhak adaitech b'kisham ha-smuchel li'ir askin. If we're talking about rain that's right next to the city, ha-yesh len apayim ama l'charuach ha-giragli anshe osa ir mi-baylei. The brayis should have said that it gets apayim ama according to ragli anshe osa ir. And the fact that the Braisa says that there's a paim ama tells us we're not talking about rain that went next to the city. It must be rain that's somewhere in the wild, somewhere that's hefker, and that's why we were able to bring a raya that these two Braises were arguing about, the machlokes of Chefzi Hefker, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, versus the Chachamim. Gemara now says in the bottom here, Amar Mar, we quoted above, the Yomtev, if it rains on Yomtev, harehein kiragle kol adam, it goes according to any person, which means whoever kind of collects it, it goes based on his particular tchum. So Gemara asks an interesting question about Mai. Liknei shvisa bokainis. Why don't we say, before, right, it rained on Yomtev, which means, where was this water when Yomtev started, Ben Shmashos? It must have been in the ocean. It goes from the ocean, the clouds, it goes up, it evaporates, however that works, it goes to the clouds and comes over and rains here. So if it rained today on Yom Tov, it must be Ben Shmashos, it was in the ocean, so shouldn't it have Shvisa wherever it was in the ocean? How are we allowed to have a Shvisa based on who collects it, who draws the water? So Gemara says, must be Lema Delo Krebi Eliezer. It's not like Krebi Eliezer. Who's Krebi Eliezer? Di Krebi Eliezer Ha'amar Kol Olam Kula Mimei Okainis Hu Shosa. Krebi Eliezer felt that every rain in the world comes from the oceans. So it must be, we don't hold like him. We don't think that rain comes from the ocean. It comes from wherever it comes from. We don't know where it comes from, but somewhere else. And therefore, we don't have to address the question of it coming from the ocean. It came from, it was a nace, let's say. And therefore, wherever it falls, whoever's memala it, it goes based on their tchum. So Amar Reb Yitzchak, no. Hacha ba'avim shinis kashu me'av yamtif askin. We're talking about, it wasn't in the ocean, erev yamtif. The clouds already formed. So it's out of the ocean, it's in the clouds, and then it just released its rain on Yom Tov, so it was never in the ocean in the first place. So Gemara says, the Duma hanach azli, hanach achrina ninu. Who says the same clouds that you saw erev Yom Tov are the same clouds that are dropping the rain on Yom Tov itself? Maybe new clouds appeared. So Gemara says, d'ishlei simanim b'gavayu. There was a simon, there was some unique shape, the cloud looked like, I don't know, a clown, and therefore that same clown-looking cloud was their erev Yom Tov. It's the same one that's dropping its rain. So they had a certain simon, they knew it was the same exact cloud before Yom Tov, on Yom Tov, and it didn't come from the ocean from erev Yom Tov. Ibai Seima, alternatively, Abi Safik, it's a Safik, we don't know. We're not sure if it was the same exact cloud. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But with a cloud, Safik Divrayim, the Safik Divrayim Lahakil. Anytime there's a Safik Divrayim, we're able to be Makel. And since this din of Tchum is an Isser Midrabban, according to this Gemara at least, it's a Safik Divrayim Lakula. Now look at this toast on the bottom, a very interesting toast, so it's the last one on the page here. Ibai Seima, Abi Safik, Safik Divrayim, Yafagad Davidavar, Sheyesh Lamatir. We have a cloud. Something that's usher, that is a davar sheish l'matir, that it's going to mutter, you can't rely on bittel or any suffix. In other words, let's say I have a muksa item, it's a suffix whether or not this egg was laid today or was laid yesterday. So I don't know. So it's muksa, so I should say muksa is their bottom, suffix their bottom l'kula. But the Gemara tells him, Mesechus Beitza, that no, just wait till Yom Tov is over, and then there's no Shaila Muksa anymore, no Shaila Nolad. So whenever there's a Dover, Sheyesh L'Matir, and it's going to be a foreseeable Heter, we don't allow a person to apply Bittel or Suffolk now. So we shouldn't say that. Why are we Makel here? Wait till Shabbos is over, wait till Yom Tov is over, and then there's a Shaila here of Tchum, and it's Mutter. So even though it's a Dover, Sheyesh L'Matir, and says Tosos, Avogad the Habe Dover Sheyesh L'Matirin Vomer Rav Ashi Bereish Beitza the Dover Sheyesh L'Matirin Afi Be'elf. Even if it's one of a thousand items, still Lo Batal. We don't apply Bittel Afi B'Savik B'Divrayim. Even on a Savik Derabanan, meaning even on Issa Derabanan, we say don't rely on Bittel. Say wait till it's Mutter when it comes to Be'erv Hekilu. We have a klal that throughout Maseches Erevin we're always Makel by Erevin. So even though in general a Savik Divrayim we would not be Lakula. If it's a davar sheish matirin, by Hilchas Ervin, we would be makel, even though it's a davar sheish lo matirin. So after establishing this now, maybe we could go into the next daf a little bit. Should we? Yeah, that's what we'll go a little bit more. Tomorrow's daf is average size daf. The Gemara says now, last two lines of the page here. V'liknei shvisa ba'avins. Okay, so it's not in the ocean. We established it's ready in the clouds by Ben Shmashos when the Yontif started. So let it at least be Kona Shrisa in the clouds, which means it should have 2,000 amos from wherever the cloud is. Why do we allow it to have Shrisa at the moment it rains? So Gemara says, Liknei Shrisa Ba'avim.
So tifsha mina de'in tchumen lamala. It must be that because it's above 10 tvachim in the ground, of course, it's above 10 tvachim, there is no tchum on above 10 tvachim. That was a discussion we had a couple of days ago. Because the yesh tchumim, if there were to be tchum even above 10 tvachim in the ground, in the clouds, liknei shvisha ba'avim. So the fact that we don't even entertain that possibility that the tchum should go based on where it is in the cloud must be that we don't have tchum above 10 tvachim. Amar says, that's not a raya. We don't know. You could still say that maybe there is tchum even when things are 10 tvachim high. So why is there no tchum? Why don't we establish that there's tchum when the water is in the clouds? So maya be'eva mivla blali. It's absorbed in the clouds, which means, Rashi says, last line of Rashi here, mivla blali who command the list of damu as if it doesn't exist at all for lokani le shvisam amish. It doesn't exist. There's no mamashes. Rain in the form of cloud is just whatever cloud gases of some sort. It turns into rain when it's released. But right now, in the form of a cloud, there's no rain. There's no mamashes to even speak of, so that's why you can't discuss shvisa. This has no bearing on the discussion of tchumim above 10 tvachim. So then the Gemara says on the top of memvav here, kol shekein tavlei nola. So the asiri, wait a second. If you're telling me that rain, it doesn't exist in the clouds, and now it begins to release the rain, isn't that nola? It goes from a gas or nothing to rain. Isn't that a problem? So the Gemara says, Dasiri elamaya ba'avim minid naidi. End up saying, you know what? Water does exist in the rain. It's there. It's moving around. It's being held like in a cup. The rain is not. It's not. Doesn't. It's not gas. It's water. It's just held in the clouds and it's just moving around there. So it's not an issue of nolad. So the Gemara says before I get to the hashad asad l'hachi. Now that we establish that the water is there, just moves around, and since it moves around, it exists. It's not an issue of tchum. Tchum only exists if you were kovei yourself. The water is not kovei itself. The water is busy moving around. It's a nayid. And you can't have a shvisa if it's moving around. So hashad asad l'hachi, now that we establish when something moves around, there's no kinyan shvisa, o kainis nami, even if the rain were to be in the ocean initially, nami lo likshu l'chach, don't ask the question, why isn't there tchum in the water? Because maya bo kainis nami mina naidi. The water in the ocean also moves. It was never kona shvisa. It has to be stationary to be kona shvisa. Betanya, the Braisa says, naharos hamoshkim, rivers that move, umayanos hanovim, and springs that are flowing, harein karagli kol adam, they don't have a shvisa because they're moving. It all goes based on the shvisa of whoever draws the water. That's the point at which it gets the shvisa. Now, this is a very important Gemara in terms of nolad on Shabbos and rain and snow. We can see clearly that rain is not nolad because we assume rain is water in the clouds and it's water down here. But the post can talk about, what about snow? We know snow comes down as water. As it comes closer to the ground, it turns into a solid, into a snow. So Rav Moshe felt that that was actually considered nolad, and snow would be usher if snow fell on Shabbos. Rav Shlomo Zalman felt that it actually would be mutter, because Rav Shlomo Zalman says that nolad is only usher. He agrees it's nolad, going from a liquid to a solid, but he felt it's only if it goes nolad is something that's beneficial to a person. Liquid to solid, people don't want that. You'd rather it to be in the liquid form. So the way Shmir Shabbos says, so if it were to go from a solid to a liquid, it would be an issue. But from a liquid to a solid, he felt that would be ligriusa, would be inferior, and therefore he did not think it would be a violation of nolad, and muksa and snow would not be muksa, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman. No, when it's snow, though.